Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I'm a feminist, but when I was hanging out with my 13-year-old niece last week in New Zealand, and she put the Australian reality television show on, Married at First Sight, my reaction was, this is such a horrendous concept. It's especially offensive as it was started when people in this country were not allowed to get married when they were gay, but they'd been in a relationship for 20 years and had three children, but they were allowed to get married on first sight for a reality television show. Secondly, it just, the values of the patriarchy that are so embedded within it, and the binary, and the gender norms, and the expectation, and the marriage as circus, and the whole, you know, concept of marriage, which is questionable anyway. I just said to my teenage niece, this is not what we should be watching. And then 10 minutes in, when she said, I'm bored, shall we change the channel? I was like, shh, her brother's going to object to the service. How compelling is that evil show?
I watched it in the first ever episode of the first ever season. And I watched it and I was lying in a hospital bed because I'd been car doored that day. And I was watching it just going, well, I didn't think my day could get any worse, but here we are.
It is basically like a car door in the face, but one that you then go, I'll have another one.
Yes.
Shall I binge another car door in the face?
So, I'm a feminist. But not too long ago, when I was working with children doing school holiday care, we went to a swimming pool and I shaved my legs so I didn't have to explain why they're hairy to an inquisitive but very judgy 10-year-old.
Fair.
It's too much.
Fair. I'm a feminist, but I have been watching The Good Place, a sitcom about morality and ethics and self-determination. And mostly, when I watch it, I just desperately want Jameela Jamil's wardrobe, figure, and hair. And face. I mean, she is ridiculously beautiful.
Yeah, just, I can, it's the same, you've got the same style. In hair and dresses.
Yeah, I know, but then I'm the way less good Jameela Jamil then, because...
Lies.
No, I just heard lies.
I'm a feminist, but for the last year, my girlfriend has done most of the cooking and cleaning in our home, and I've paid the bills, and I'm cool with that. It was her idea, and I went with it.
Oh, that sounds like a brilliant division of labour to me. Yeah. I mean, I don't do anything, so I don't.
Don't pay the bills?
Tom doesn't. I know so little about our finances. I earn them. I'm very... That's important to me. It's important to me that I earn more than him. But...
Yes.
It's true. But I don't give a fuck. I just don't care about all the shuffling of money around a direct debits. Okay, I'm busy. I don't want to do it. So as far as I know, he's got a huge online gambling problem and I don't have any money at all because...
Oh, same. I pay the bills.
You do have an online gambling problem and she doesn't know.
No, but she will do all the cooking and cleaning, but also when I say I pay the bills, I would just put money into an account for bills to be paid.
Right. Oh, right. Oh, okay. I'm a feminist, but I'd really like to know what men talk about when there's no women there. Like the fun boy stuff that isn't sexist or horrible, or about sport, or the lavatory, or masturbating, or cars. I feel there must be some discussion they have when I'm not there that's not disappointing or gross or boring that I want to be in on.
I'm a feminist, but sometimes I put my pet chihuahua in my jacket and zip it up over her head. Then I go up to someone and say, "What do you think of these puppies?" While I unzip my jacket and my dog pops her head out.
That's brilliant.
It's pretty great.
That is...
She loves it.
Not mature. It's not mature. Not and today mature. We are talking about maturity.
Yes.
But it is brilliant.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Live from the Thornbury Theatre, Melbourne, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, and guest co-host Geraldine Hickey, and very special guest Celia Pecola, talking about maturity. Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. Today we are talking about maturity with my wonderful co-pilot here, Geraldine Hickey.
Thank you.
She hasn't even flown here. She literally got a bus.
I got the tram today.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And tapped on. And low money, but got away with it. So,
what happened? You didn't take your money?
Yeah, I didn't have any. I had minus $4.36 on my Mikey. But I went, well, I'm here now, so not getting off until I want to.
No. And if you're listening at home, Geraldine has celebrated that theft with a large sip of her Chardonnay.
Yes.
And listen, I'm sure you put in other ways. No. Just because I see you as a socialist who wants to put into the...
Yes. Do you want to know why I didn't have enough money on my Mikey? Because I caught the bus last week.
Yes.
And I bought some change to put on the Mikey when I was on the bus. Because that's a good thing about the bus. You can get on the bus and you say to the bus driver, "Hello, can I top up my Mikey, please?" And this bus driver went, "Oh, I haven't turned it on." So...
That's the most Australian thing I've ever heard.
I know, right?
The Mike... Is it called a Mikey?
Yeah, M-Y-K-I. Mikey.
So is that the equivalent of an Oyster, London Oyster card?
Yes.
A Mikey? That is...
Why Oyster? Why Mikey? Who knows why they come
well,
up
Well, we know why Oyster, because it's like the world is your oyster. If you've got an Oyster card, it's like London is your oyster.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
But Mikey just sounds like someone's Australian flatmate who's actually not really a flatmate. He doesn't pay the rent. He's turned up in London. He doesn't pay any rent. He's living on a pull-out sofa, which he never puts away, even though it's in the main living area. He said he would put it away in the morning, but he never does, obviously. So people are tripping around and you're knocking, you're thinking, when is Mikey leaving? Nobody knows his surname, by the way. He doesn't have one. And he has like a tattoo of meatloaf on his shoulder.
The word or the face? Or the meat? Or the dish?
I was thinking the band, but it would be funnier if it were just a tattoo of a picture of some meatloaf.
Yeah, I get that.
His mum's meatloaf on the side that he loves. He loves it, Mikey.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Anyway, but... Yeah,
oh,
see?
Oh, Mikey to the city. It's like Oyster. We found out, Mikey.
Yeah. I was getting to that.
Yes, okay. Mikey to the city. It's Mikey.
I wonder why it's spelt weird, though. Why is it spelt weird?
Because those things aren't they? It's like Tinder. Nobody knows why. I mean, I don't know. That is actually spent correctly. I don't know why I've picked on Tinder. Tinder, though, because it's like a kindling and you spark it. Yeah. So it's like sparking love. It's a little bit of Tinder you throw into a... Someone's just excited about that revelation now. We could do those all night. Grindr, more obvious.
Yeah. Get that.
What's the lesbian version of Grindr in Australia?
Brenda?
That's not... It doesn't have the same feel, does it, as Grindr?
No, yeah.
The Brenda
there's
the...
Brenda, isn't there? And there's OK Cupid, and there's... Her. I'm out of touch. Oh, can I just say that... So the money that I had that I didn't get to put on my Mikey...
I just... Everything you say is funny. That's not a funny thing to say. But somehow the way you say it makes me laugh.
But I just... Back to why I'm a good person, because... So I got off the bus and with my
this
change,
is a literal
I didn't go
so
on
I got
my
off
Mikey,
the bus.
And then I gave it to a man that was living on the street.
Oh, turns out you are a good person.
Yeah, but that's only because my girlfriend told me to.
And I've been watching a lot of The Good Place. You know, do you know the sitcom?
Yes, yes,
and it's
yes,
a lot
yes.
of it's about people who've arrived in the afterlife, and a lot of it is about philosophy and ethics and morality. Chidi would say
he's the moralist.
He would say you've cancelled the good by telling this audience that you did it, because now you've got.
But I think it was cancelled anyway when I was told to do it.
And then when you've been catching free rides off the state ever since to make up for the fact that you once gave something to a homeless person.
Yes.
Like, I ride for free now, that's the rule.
Yeah. I'll chop it up when I've got an opportunity to.
Well, that's always. You always have an opportunity to.
No, I don't, because I can't top it up on the tram. I got on the tram, and I'm like, I'd love to just get my card out and tap on, like, extra money. Not available. Fix the system.
which leads us to our topic, which is maturity.
Yes.
Do you feel like a mature
Absolutely.
Person? A mature feminist, a mature woman, a mature human. Because I oscillate. Sometimes I think I am so mature. I mean, compared to how I used to live, definitely.
Yes, but I like to replace mature with, you know, grown up.
Like, well, you should have said that off stage before we wrote the topic on the clipboard.
Oh.
You knew what it was. There were time for suggestions, and it's not now.
Yes, okay.
I've announced it now.
That's what I'm...
Okay,
I am
grown
immature.
Up. No, maturity or being a grown-up. But I think maturity is about more than being grown-up. It's also about age. It's about...
It's being sensible.
I think mature is a mature word for grown-up.
I agree. That's why I said that.
Grown-up, yeah. Like, grown-up is what a child thinks. It's a child looks at us and goes, they're grown-ups. Do you ever wonder how children look at you and how old they think you are?
All the time.
I'm obsessed with it.
I
look in
them.
The mirror and I try and work out, if I was seven, what would I see?
But I've asked so many kids how old they think I am.
Oh, it's a dangerous game, Geraldine.
I'm okay with it. It's ranged from 16 to 63, which basically means I transcend age.
That's true, yes. That's very good. But children are very poor judges of age.
They
that's
are.
What we
that's
have to
true.
Remember. No, no, they are. They are. They can't. But I just think now, if I were a child or if I were a teenager, would I think I'm old or grown up or mature? I mean, they must look at me and think, she's...
Oh, you've got it together.
Or I'd be a responsible person if they were lost in a public place. They'd come to me.
Yes. I would, yeah. You look very... Yes.
You would. If you were lost in a supermarket...
I get lost all the time.
You would come to me. Okay, all right. Yeah. That's good to know. Would you like to hear some stand-up comedy? Then please welcome to the stage the one, the only, the magnificent Geraldine Hickey!
Sup, fuckers. Here's the thing, I like to think that I'm quite mature. Like, things are going quite well at the moment, and that was through making good decisions and whatnot. So... financially, things are going well, and I know that they could possibly be going a lot better if I wasn't, if I was a bit more mature about it. Like, last year, I had quite a successful season at the Comedy Festival, and with the money that I made, I could have invested that, I could have put it on the mortgage, I could have done some sensible things, but I went to Disneyland. And I went because I just love a theme park and it's Disneyland. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I was a kid, I don't know if anyone remembers, there was a theme park just outside of Sydney called Wonderland. Yep. Correct response. It was great, right? And I went there when I was about 13 years old on a girl guide camp. We didn't actually camp there. We were on a trip and we got to go to Wonderland. And I had the best time. I went, oh, man, this is so good. And then a year later, I was in Sydney with my family. We're on a family holiday visiting some cousins and stuff. And then Dad walks out one day and just goes, righto, kids, we're going to Wonderland. Right? And I lost my mind. Because here's the thing, I come from a relatively big family. I have four sisters and a brother, and we had all the cousins there. But we're just a working class family, so the idea of all of us going to a theme park together was never really on the card. So, it just blew my mind that I'm like, how are we... Oh, man, Dad must have been at the races. Who cares? Let's go, So we all get in the Tarago, we're all piled in the Tarago. And I'm the only one in the family that's... been there before, right? So it's up to me to get everyone excited. I was self-appointed, but I'm just sitting in the middle of the van, just turning around to everyone going, right, guys, this is what we're going to do first, right? When we get there, we'll go on the smaller roller coaster. Looks scary, made out of wood. Looks like it might collapse. But don't worry, it won't. Absolutely won't. Then we're going to go on the bigger one. Yeah, the line's a bit longer, but don't worry about it. We've got a thrill out of the way. And so we're all cool. We're into it, right? Then we'll go on the pirate ship. One time the guy was upside down. It spewed. He spewed and came around and landed on him. Maybe we'll get to see that, yeah? And just, overtaking cars, just opening up the window, going, we're going to fucking Wonderland! Oh, man, I can't tell you how excited... And then we get there, right? It's a good hour and a half drive. It's a long drive, right? And I'm just peeking the whole... when we get there, when you see kids that, they're 4 or 5-year-olds that are so excited they don't know what to do with their bodies? And so they just start humping things. Yes. I didn't hump anything, right? But that's the level of excitement that I was at, right? My dad gets out of the car and he's kind of looking around. I'm like, no, Dad, over here. I'll show you where you've got to buy your tickets. You've got to go over here, right? I know where to go. Come with me, right? And Dad's like, all right. And then your dad goes up to the counter and he goes, I'll get 50 tickets, please. There's a lot of us, right? maybe not that many, but in my mind it was like heaps, do you know? And then they go, oh yeah, that'll be $10,000. And Dad goes, whoa. And he goes, oh, hang on, sorry. I've got these, all right? And he hands over some vouchers that he had in his pocket. And then they look at it and they go, oh yeah, that's right, cool. And they go, that'll be $9,700. And Dad goes, oh, these are free though, aren't they? Aren't they free tickets? And they went, oh no, so it's just a discount. And he went, oh, thought they were free. All right, everyone, back in the Tarago. I don't know if you've ever been to the car park of a theme park. You know, you can see the tops of the rides, hear the screaming and the laughing, and smell the popcorn and the whatnot. Anyway, so I went to Disneyland and But before I left, like I said to myself, I'm going to go to Disneyland. And friends were like, oh, mate, if you're going to go to LA and you like theme parks, you've got to go to Magic Mountain. I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll go to Six Flags, Magic Mountain. So I went there. And then other friends were like, oh, you're going to LA, you've got to go to Universal Studios. I'm like, yep, all right, I'll go to Universal Studios. And then I went, well, if I'm going to Disneyland, that's Anaheim, then I should go to Knott's Berry Farm. So I went to Knott's. Anyway, I spent 7 days in LA. Six of them were at theme parks. I had the best time, right? The one day that I didn't go to a theme park, I went to the LA Zoo, right? Love the zoo, went along to that, right? But here's the thing, I spent far too much time at the Australian exhibit. Because I just would daydream a lot when I'm... Anyway, all I wanted was to be standing there at the looking down at the kangaroos, right, some kangaroos in a pit, a big pit, like, you know, it's good, like, had stuff down there that it likes, like grass and shelter and, you know, well-equipped pit, right? I'm looking down at the kangaroos and all I wanted was, like, a couple to come alongside, it's just anyone to come alongside me, and then they'd look down and see the kangaroos and go, oh wow, that's amazing, and then look for someone to share that moment with, and then they'd turn around and they'd see me and I'd, you know, smile back at them, oh hell yes, and then they'd go, oh that's pretty, they're pretty interesting animals, aren't they, or and then I could go, oh them got those in me bloody backyard. It's a bit silly, but it's all I wanted to do. I do try to be mature a lot of the time, and I think about serious kind of issues. And, like, I know it happened a long time ago, but... not a long time ago, but we got marriage equality in this country, and it was amazing. However, it was such a horrible time as well, the process of getting that. Because basically it was a circumvention of our parliamentary system for the sole purpose of publicly torturing our community. And I'm not ready to move on from that. I'm not ready to forget that. And I don't want anyone to ever forget how horrible that time was. So much so that I would like there to be a memorial built. And on the side it'll just have, Les we faggot. A little bit immature, but there we have it. Thanks very much. I'm Renee Ricky.
Hello, guilty feminists. It's Deborah here. We will be going to Australia. We're in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, the Gold Coast, Auckland, Christchurch, and Wellington. The Gold Coast, where I was raised, there's still tickets. Christchurch, there's still some tickets. And Wellington, there's still some tickets, but not so many. So get in and get those quickly. On Wednesday, the 29th of January, I'm going to be hosting a fundraiser for the terrible bushfires in Australia at the Clapham Grand with an incredible bill. Also check out the website for that. On the 30th of January, I'm doing Canned Laughter Karaoke Roulette. That is hosted by Olga Koch and Max Aleska. Get in, get tickets now. We're also doing a huge Guilty Feminists live tour the way we did last year, May again this year. It'll be a brand new show. We're touring around the country. It's all live, not podcast. We are coming to all over the UK. You can check out dates and get tickets at theguiltyfeminist.com and starting in London at the Hammersmith Apollo, which is going to be a big gig. So get tickets now. My book is now available in the UK and other parts of the world. If you would like to bring along a book to any of the shows that I'm doing on this tour, then please do, and I will sign it at the end. And don't forget, you can also get merch, and the money for that goes into our Pot for Good Things. Check out the website for that. And now back to the podcast.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Today is an award-winning stand-up comedian and actress. She is also the co-creator of the incredible television show Rose Haven. Please welcome to the microphone, Celia Pakola!
Hi, guys. So the theme is maturity, so obviously I'm here. Don't have a lot of time, I've got a game of hopscotch going out the back. Honestly, I am 35 years old, that's full grown up, right? I'm 35 years old, and it's hard for me to say this, but I've had it so far quite about 12 years of being stand-up comedy success in stand-up comedy and acting and radio and a bunch of things, but 100% honesty with you, the skill that I believe that I am best at and that I am the most proud of is this. And if you are listening to this on the podcast, that was real. I'm terrified because this is new. Okay, I'm a child. Right, now! So to me, maturity is about a few things, but maturity to me, I thought about, what is maturity? And I think maturity, a big part of it is knowing when to let things go. You know, like nappies, know when to let those go. Sports girl, comes a point, gotta let it go.
then Portman's. Gotta let Portman's go after that. That guy with the toe rings. Nah, gotta go. Flat sharing. It's gotta be a point. I'm still doing it at 35 and it's too old. 35 is too old to be flat sharing. 35 is too old to be saying things like, where the fuck is my cheese? Now this, these jeans, it's time to let them go, okay? Anyone who's in the room can see these jeans. I'm currently wearing ripped denim jeans. These are ripped on purpose jeans. They're too ripped. We're currently in Thornbury, ripped jean capital of the world. And we've gone too far, guys. We're ripping denim too much. I saw a guy the other day wearing a denim jacket that was basically a spider web. Too far. Now these jeans, I bought them ripped, okay? And what happens is they have perfectly good jeans and then someone rips them on purpose. Someone, like, they're perfectly good and then someone fucks them up on purpose and then I get them. Which also describes my dating history, okay? Anyway, the point is, these jeans are ripped on purpose, or at least they were up until 3 hours ago. Now, I was out in the world, and then I was having a nice time with some friends, and then I got into a taxi to go home, and I sat down in the taxi, and I heard this terrible sound. So I split my pants, and I wasn't entirely sure where. It was the crotch area, so it's full split. Full split. Full split out in the world. But I made it home. What do you do when you split your pants in the world? You go, got to make it home. Got to make it home. And usually when you make it home, when you've split your pants, is you take the pants off and you throw them out. And I thought I could do that. Or I could wear them one last time to the guilty feminist and split them right. And split them on stage in one of three ways. Squat, high kick, or cartwheel. Cartwheel? Now, I am not a physical performer or a stunt person, but I feel like, who in here has ripped a pair of pants when they've been wearing them? All right? And we've hid in the shadows for too long. You believe in me? I don't know what kind of preparation we need for this, but I'm going to attempt a cartwheel, but I feel like we need full silence because I'm hoping we're going to get the sound of the rip. Yes, wearing underwear. The thing. So let's do a countdown 3, 2, 1 and then silence. Yeah? And then afterwards obviously cheer because I'll be crying probably. Okay? What's your name down here? Lizzie. Can you start a big 3 when I get over there, when I'm ready and I point at you, Lizzie? I'm going to do some more jokes now. My parents are real proud. I'll tell you that this is very quick and then I'll sit down. I was trying to, you know, we're all trying to be better feminists and I tried in a really mature way to try and be a better feminist. And with me, everything ends up immature. It just does. I can't help it. And here was my plan to try and be a better feminist. I went, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to think about what I really like about being a woman. Because I get all caught up in all the bad stuff and the sad stuff. I get all real angry. And I went, nah, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to sit down and go, what do I really like about being a woman? And you can judge this and you will, but this is what I came up with, all right? I love being a woman because it's harder to get your vagina stuck in a vacuum cleaner. I imagine. I haven't tried it, I don't know, and I know not all women have vaginas, but as a woman with a vagina, I am very grateful for that, because if I had a penis, I would put it in a vacuum cleaner. Are you kidding me? Straight away, immediately, nonstop. It is a suction machine with a dick-shaped hole. Like, fucking get it in there. Like, it's designed, like, sticks like that. Apparently, get it in there. Like, it can't be that dangerous, right? If it ripped them off, we'd know. It'd be on the news every day. And by the way, any guys in the room or people with penises, I'm not telling you to do that. Don't be like, silly, told me to put my dick. No. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry, I'm very grateful. I don't have to make that decision. Not on my. For once, something I don't have to deal with is great. And by the way, I was talking to my male friends about this, and I get why you wouldn't actually do it, but I don't get why you wouldn't entertain it. Suction machine, dick-shaped hole. Like, what? And my friend was like, no, of course not. Eh. And I was like, but why? And he goes, ugh, dusty. I could have done more jokes and less physical comedy for a podcast. But you know what? Now these are tax deductible, so there's that. Thank you very much. I was hoping for a real good rip. Oh, God.
It's worse. Still
not. I know. I was hoping for a one... I don't know what I was hoping for. But also, when I was listening over there, you guys, you both have partners who do your accounting for you. My partner doesn't do my accounting. My mum does it.
No!
Seriously, I'm 35. I'm not entirely sure what superannuation is. When I said not entirely sure, I don't know at all.
isn't it just some kind of enforced savings so that you don't die in penury?
I don't know.
So, maturity. Do you feel mature as a feminist, as a woman, as a person?
No. And it's only going to get worse. Like, it hasn't got any better. Like, you're talking about, you just think at a point, you go, ting, grown up now. Nah, hasn't happened. 35. Do you know the word I use the most? Yay. Yay. I reckon I say yay 35 times a day. Yay. Woo. I also say woo a lot.
Your character in Rosehaven, so for people who haven't seen Rosehaven here
or
around the world, Rosehaven is a sitcom about a young man and a young woman who are friends.
You're very sweet, yeah.
And who are 35-year-old friends.
Yeah, best mates.
Not romantically linked in any way.
Platonic mates.
Completely platonic.
Living
in Tasmania. And they both come home to a small town in Tasmania.
Yep, running a real estate agency.
He's come back to help his mum, but people keep saying... Oh, it's because you can't hack it on the mainland.
Yeah. Yep. So he's from there and I'm his best friend who turns up, which is fun. So I'm the goofball. I'm not a sidekick, but I am a goofball. So my character's primary goal is fun.
And normally it's the boy characters who are doing... You know, like on something like Parks and Rec, it's the guy characters...
Oh, yeah.
...who are the doofuses, or like in 30 Rock. I mean, I love 30 Rock and I love Parks and Rec, but there's the sort of strict... Actually, let me withdraw those... Because I don't want Tina Fey, who obviously does listen to this podcast.
But I know what you're saying, and I do feel that often it is the female character in sitcom is normally the more go-getter, got a career, you know, stronger, disciplined, nitpicky, that kind of stuff, wants a partner, wants a career. And it's usually more a male character who's the one living in the basement playing video games and eating cereal. So it's fun playing that character as a female. Not that there was really a choice, because that's what I lean towards. And Luke's character leans more towards the... you know.
Luke's character is very uptight.
Nervous, anxious, uptight. Yeah.
But you also have a lot of parts for what in the industry would be called mature actresses as well.
Yeah,
women over 60.
Yeah, and we're really proud of that. I mean, I wish we could have done better with a more people of colour in terms of casting, and we tried, but we could do better. But something I am very proud of is that we do have a lot of roles for stronger, older female characters in our show. Like, Chris McQuaid is a lead and she's wonderful. This series we got Genevieve Pico as well. Like, there's this amazing talent pool of these older female actresses who spend a lot of time doing stage plays and stuff, who are wonderful and never get to do comedy. And they're brilliant.
It's such a waste, isn't it? Mm. We think women hit an age where they're just out of sight. And that's not just about, oh, poor Hollywood actresses, because, you know, there are people with worse jobs. But it's actually about representation. If you never see older women on the screen, which is where we spend a lot of our time on screens, then older women in life often complain about being invisible, and I think a lot of it is lack of representation.
And but then you've got other, you know, the secretary, what's it?
Oh, Mrs. Marsh.
Who's, you know, just hilarious, you know, so there's a whole range there.
Her name's Nola Foxcroft, and we do an open casting call in Tasmania, so anyone in Tasmania who wanted to audition was allowed. Oh, yeah. That was some fun times. And Nola, won't mind me saying, I think she's in her 80s, and she is phenomenal, and she just walked in and is amazing. She plays Mrs. Marsh, and she's brilliant. And we were so excited to just find her. And she acted maybe 30 years ago and then never again. And just, yeah.
Just because we're brilliant.
And people love her. And she got a magazine spread. There's a magazine in Tasmania that's like Women's Weekly, but for... It's basically older Women's Weekly. I'm not sure what it's called. But she got a magazine spread. She gets recognised on the street. She's loving life. She's having a great time.
Good on her. Yeah. Good on her. I mean, the fact that that's sort of remarkable, where we're, it's even in our response to that, it's almost like... It's so cute, but actually, like, that's because it never happens. And older women, I just think as I get older, I'm just getting better. I'm not regressing. I've got all my life experience, which I am formulating some ideas on. And I think in 40 years, I'm going to be awesome. That's when I'm going to hit peak.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit peak as everyone loses interest in me. And that is no, we must stop. We must start asking older women, what do you know?
Yeah, but I feel the same way. Like, you know, I'm turning 40 this year and I can't fucking wait. Because I went, 20s were kind of, and then 30s...
20s are generally tough, aren't they?
Yeah, but you don't realise it at the time. I think... Like,
the state of your bathrooms when you're 20.
Oh, gross. Shared flats and just... Also, the state of your head.
Geraldine and I lived in a house just over there, and we had a kitchen. If you dropped something, it rolled away.
Yeah. The bathroom was on a hill.
Yeah,
and the drain was at the top of the hill.
And there was a chest of drawers that had a dildo in it that didn't belong to any of us.
Oh, my...
But no one had thrown it out.
No, and we didn't want to throw it out either because we were like, what if someone comes back to it? So here's what we did.
What if someone comes back? What if someone knocks the door and goes,
because it might be embarrassing. It might have been someone who used to live there.
I lived here 7 years ago.
Because that's what, in your 20s, you flat, it's people...
Is there any chance you found a red...
A dildo, yeah.
Dildo about yay big.
I didn't want to look at it. I didn't look at it because our old housemates, they left some stuff behind. And so they
clearly.
Like, yeah.
I thought you meant you'd moved in.
Well, we don't know.
Dildo sitting in the cupboard.
We don't know, because if it was her, she would have taken it. Anyway, we don't know. So what we did was we put it inside a Christmas stocking and we hung it in the laundry and then we moved out.
Yeah. Oh. So someone else found it. Then they would think it was yours.
Don't know. Don't care.
The idea was that, you know, we'd hang it on the, oh my God, on the door if we were, you know... if you had a guest over, then you put the Christmas stocking on the door.
This is not really about maturity, but it kind of is because it just makes me laugh so much. There's another dildo story from us in a different flat.
Oh, yes.
Please tell.
So I did a stand-up show where at the end of every show, I had a door prize under the thing and inside it was a large dildo. Because being sex positive, it was clear in a box and stuff, right? Mm. But one of them had my name. I had one that I would use on stage that had my name in Sharpie because the joke was I had one when I was about 20 and I lost it and I don't know where it is. And it could, because I don't know where it is, it could be anywhere. And then the joke is, oh, it's under your chair and it's got my name on it. Anyway, so I had a bunch of dildos around me at all times. My agent had to buy me a bunch of dildos.
Because they were
props, right?
Yeah.
And then...
We moved out.
And then we moved out. And then we had cleaners come and do the final clean, right? And then Geraldine sent me a photo of, she's like, there was some stuff that they'd missed.
There was a couple of boxes that were in a cupboard and stuff, and they had taken them out and put them in the hallway. So there was a couple of boxes and something else.
No.
And then on top of the boxes
was a loose dildo.
No.
With black texter written on it, Celia.
No.
So in their mind, they have cleaned up a house that has so many dildos in it that you've got to put your name on it. Guys, who's fucking using my dildo for fun? This is the last time. This is.
Wow.
The cleaner refused to make eye contact with me.
Wow. I mean, that's the actual worst case story.
I'm surprised you haven't gone into the witness relocation program.
But I wasn't there. Geraldine was there. So I don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I was fine. He knew I wasn't Celia, so...
Yeah. The most mature I ever feel is when I rent a car. Woo.
They just give it to you.
You made that face. They'd go, they'd take it back.
I go, really? Yeah, no, they give it to you. Got a license.
You've got to be over 25.
Yeah. If you're over 25, but I can make whatever faces I want.
Is that what makes you feel mature? Is that you?
Yeah,
you
renting a car makes me feel really grown up.
Yeah.
Because someone's giving you a car and it feels like...
When I was 25, you know, I felt like, oh my God, this is like I'm a proper grown up now. I mean, I wasn't exhibiting any signs of it. I was living...
Just when you turned 25? Or was there a thing that when you were 25?
Generally, I was like, oh my God, I'm a proper grown up and I'm so old and, you know, I'll never be a prodigy.
See, I didn't get it till I was at least 35, maybe, in my 30s. Like, I was 26 for 2 years...
Because you didn't realise.
Yeah, because I just didn't know. Like someone.
Are you sure you're the age you are now?
No.
You could already be 40. You may be Mr. Birthday. Oh, I've thrown.
No. I turned 40 in July. It's easy because I was born in 79 and it's 19. So it's. When I was 26, though, someone asked me, "How old are you this year?" And I went, 26. And then it was like a full. 24 hours later, I was like, oh, no, I'm not. 27.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. It's Jessica Regan here. I'm very happy to announce some upcoming dates for our Big Speeches workshops in 2020. So, in the first week in March, we're going to be doing two workshops on the 1st of March and the 8th of March, both on Sundays at the Rose and Crown Theatre in Walthamstow. Please note this venue has stairs. We're also doing 3 dates in a new venue called Hold Space, which is near Highbury and Islington Tube, on the 29th of March, the 25th of April and the 10th of May. This venue is fully accessible. We're looking forward to seeing you there. So please do go online, look on the website, guiltyfeminist.com, to book and for more details, and we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Oh, yeah, tickets for my comedy festival show are now on sale and it's called Things Are Going Well.
Nice. And Celia Piccola.
I'm not doing a stand-up show this year, but you can watch Rose Heaven on ABC and iView.
It's so good. Can everyone please watch Rose Heaven? Wherever you are in the world, you can get it on Netflix, is that correct?
No.
Tell people
to put it on Netflix. No, it's in Australia and in the US on Sundance, but hopefully...
Okay.
But
is it on iTunes?
Yes. No. Okay. I don't know.
Okay. If you are an international listener, try and source Rose Haven locally.
Thank you.
It's a brilliant sitcom. And it's Celia is just so incredibly funny in it. And it's wonderful. If we don't support things that are written by women with strong female characters at the heart, they don't make any more. This is what happens, though.
Sorry. Yes, go on.
Sorry, go on. No, I just want to say this. That what they do, Celia, is they go, oh, the women shows don't work. So we have to support them. If a show by a man doesn't do any box office, they don't go, well, that show's with men done for 10 years. So we need to support female-driven comedy.
And
so please watch Rose
Haven. It won't make you roll your eyes. Like, it's not a romantic comedy. Like, we're really proud of the fact that it's silly and fun and nice. And there's every time it gets to a point where we go, ugh, we go, cut it. No moments in it at all. Also, please watch it because we are currently getting smashed by fucking Married at First Sight.
Whoa!
Because people like Deborah.
No.
No, we are. I know. But we're up against the whole ABC comedy lineup, which is incredible. It's Hard Quiz at 8 o'clock, then us, then Get Kraken, which is fucking amazing. Because they're scared of us. They're scared of women doing comedy. So all the networks are all reality. It's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, MKR, and Married at First Sight. So
please support it, and you can watch it on demand and all of those things in Australia. So please watch it and tweet about it, because actually the more you tweet about it, the more they know that actually people are watching it. We've got a real treat for you. You are now going to become a choir. That's right. It's worth coming out and not just listening to this at home. Could you please put your hands together and make wonderful new hooing noises for Jane York, accompanied by Madalena from Big Feminist Sing!
Hello. Did everyone have an amazing time? We've just been laughing so much on side of stage. Thank you, Deborah, for having us this evening. So Big Feminist Sing is a monthly singing workshop that moves around Melbourne in different locations. And we run 2-hour workshops, but tonight we're going to run a 10-minute workshop. So it's a mini Big Guilty Feminist Sing. So now, consent is super important. So who wants to be a choir this evening? I reckon that was okay. We're really about enthusiastic consent in 2019. So if you want to be in a choir, maybe sing to me yes. So do we want to be in a choir? That was a good warm-up, yeah. Now, it really helps if we're going to sing that we feel comfortable. So I can't see you at all because there's lights in my eyes, but can you make yourself as comfortable as you can by sitting up in your chair, like lovely posture, like there's a book on your head? Yeah, I can hear you having beautiful posture. And please don't knock over your wine while you're doing it. I want to introduce Madalena tonight. Now, Madalena, this is the first time she's accompanied us for Big Feminist Sing. She's a singer-songwriter in her own right, based in Melbourne but from Tassie. And you can check out her music on Spotify, is that correct? She's got an EP, so you can have a listen later when you get home. All right, let's get straight into some singing. Sing something, and the minute you catch on, join me.
You don't own me, bum, 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 bum. You don't own me, bum, bum, bum. You don't own me, bum, bum.
Keep going. Now you have to make a really difficult decision. Are you Leslie Gore or Beyonce? So obviously the correct answer is Beyonce. However, we can't all be Beyonce, so I'm going to cut the room down the middle. This side of the room is going to be Leslie Gore, so you don't own... Oh, good, we're into it, good. You don't own me. Same with the balcony, left-hand side, your right, my left. We're Leslie Gore, and we're going to be Beyonce. So let's have a go, Beyonce, of our little bit. Deborah's obviously Beyonce, right? Yeah. Pick a side. Oh my goodness. That makes me so divisive. And there's more options. It's going to get worse. So, Beyonce, we're singing Who Runs the World, and we all know the answer is... Or women, or, you know, however we want to express it. Mature women tonight. Who runs the world? Let's have a go of that. Just us. And...
Who runs the world?
Great. Let's have another go.
Who runs the world?
All right, Leslie's come back in.
You don't know.
Thank you. tier. That was amazing. There's more, but wait, there's more. So, you'll know this one.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
Let's all try that.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
Great, let's keep going.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what
who runs the world.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
So we've got a really tough choice now. We've got to pick between Aretha, who's obviously the diva of all time, Beyonce, and Leslie Gore. I think we're just going to... I'm going to make the decision for you to make it easy. So, this whole half of the room, we're going to stick with Leslie Gore. We're going to break up the Beyoncés. So we're going to be Aretha, and we're going to be Beyoncé. Same goes for the balcony folk. All right, are we ready? Have some guitar, please, Maddie. If you're very talented, you can also do this while you sing. But you have to also sing. Not spill your wine. All right, Leslie's, are we ready? Three, and.
You don't know me, Mom.
Great, keep it going. All right, Beyonce, are you ready? We're going to come in on the next one.
To the meat and potatoes. Sorry, vegans, I meant just potatoes. Before we get into the potatoes and corn, I'm trying, I've cut meat out, except where, I mean, occasionally, if someone's cooked it for me and I'm at their house sort of thing, you know, I'm one of those people. On my own devices, I only eat fish. I know there's overfishing, but fish aren't as sentient and they have a nice life. It's not like the farming situation.
Do you know, just quickly, do you know that they've discovered a fish that can recognise itself in a mirror?
Well, that's fucked fish for me now, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
Hello, guilty feminists, it's Kel Wilson here. I'm a feminist, but not only am I accompanying Deborah Frances White around New Zealand this February, I'm doing my stand-up show, Gifted Underachiever, as well. You can catch me in Christchurch from the 11th to the 16th of February as part of the Bread and Circus World Buskers Festival. Tickets are available from breadandcircus.co.nz. And I'll be doing the show in Auckland on February the 22nd, right before we do The Guilty Feminist. It is going to be a big night for Wilson. Tickets from qtheatre.co.nz. I really hope you'll join me. Or I'll be lonely.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.